So, I feel slightly embarrassed to give this talk because I really have nothing to say in a way. Nothing new, at least, compared to a talk I gave to an audience. Certainly has some overlap with this a year ago. But from one point of view, what this talk is about is to find an application, or started the work on this. Starting the idea of finding an application to a theorem of Dan, Mike's, and mine, which relates the twisted equivariant K-theory of G to the Berlinde algebra of the loop group. And, well, in a sense, the things I'll be, all the ideas that come in, actually, were joint work with. Dan and with Mike, but then I made a slight change to that, and that has a surprising effect of producing some results. Well, I mean, some new results.
It's okay, you're just the latest in a long
Well, new compared to this, I mean. So, I guess the question to ask is, what is K-theory good for if you want to find the application of this sort of thing? And nowadays, sophisticated scientists would say that the role of K-theory is to classify boundary states in open strings theory. For example, they would say that this guy someone classifies equivariant boundary states in the WZW model. So maybe I won't write a thing about sophisticated scientists. Maybe I'll just say that. But I guess I'm not so sophisticated, and I certainly like to live in the past, so I think I want to go back and see what K-theory used to be good for before we knew about open strings. So before strings, there was K-theory. Before strings, K-theory was used for index problems, or was used to solve index problems. So a typical example is you have a, let's say, fiber bundle with smooth manifolds as fibers, open fiber bundle, and assume that a relative tangent bundle is spin or has a spin C structure, and let V over X be a complex vector bundle. Of course, you have a family of Dirac operators parameterized by B with coefficients in V. So the Dirac operator on X coupled to V. And the index of that family, well, isn't quite a vector bundle, but is a K-theory class, can be written as a difference of vector bundles. So the relative index, so the let's say the indices of D, Dirac, on V over the fibers assemble to a K-theory class in K star of V. And that class is note F lower Schwieg or sometimes F lower star of V, F lower Schwieg being a map from the K-theory of X to that of V as a dimension shift. I'm going to not write that. Okay. Already? That's a bad sign. TFB is spin C. Where?
What is TFB?
Tangent bundle along TFX, sorry.
Thank you.
That's right. That's a good reason. Right, so that's what index theory, that's what K-theory is used for. Obviously, twisted K-theory, you'd think, would have been used for twisted index problems. But there weren't too many of those. There was a bit of that, but not a lot. So twisted K used for twisted index problems. And here's an example. I'm going to make one up. It's not all that natural, but so same situation, but now let tau be a twisting for K theory over B. So there's an associated cohomology class, if you like. And let's assume, to make life easy, that let's assume that F star, the pullback of tau to X, is trivial. So it's trivialized in particular, so as a co-cycle is a boundary of something. In other words, the pullback of the derp to X is trivialized. What does that give me? This gives me an isomorphism upstairs between the twisted K-theory of X and the ordinary K-theory of X. And in K-theory, of course, we always have an interesting class called 1, so that corresponds to a class in twisted K-theory, 1 tau. Now, what's interesting is that over a fiber, X sub B, B being a point B, I actually have two trivializations of the pullback. Why? Because the restricted to a point tau is trivial necessarily. I mean, H3 of a point is not very interesting. So one coming from the fact that you're pulling back from a point, the other coming from the global trivialization. So the difference is a line bundle of tau over each fiber. This doesn't assemble to a line bundle over the total space, however. If you have a line bundle, you can consider its Dirac index. So look at the index over the fiber of this line bundle. And you ask what these things assemble to. So locally, of course, it's going to be a vector bundle, but globally, it's not going to be a vector bundle. So these guys, in fact, assemble our local models to a twisted K-theory class over B. In other words, what these are sort of local representatives for the push forward of the class 1 tau in the twisted K-theory of B. A push forward, this time going from the F star tau of X to K tau of B. Locally, the twistings are trivial. You can define the same way here. I should have written F star tau. Okay. It's a twisted index problem. Of course, I made up the context, right? I started with the tau. It didn't come up naturally. Here's one place where a bit of a twisting does come up naturally. Even if you don't put it in. Well, what do you mean by non-trivial isomorphism? There are two different things, and writing this, trivializing the derp gives you an isomorphism. If you were to write as a boundary of something else, then you might get a different isomorphism. Right. That will be reflected in the line bundle you get on the fibers, actually. The choice of isomorphism. But here a slight modification of this, which actually comes up, and where you have to see a twisting. So let's assume, I think this will suffice. Let's assume that the relative tangent bundle does not quite have a spin structure. Spin C structure. But to make life easy, the obstruction to that would be a class W3 in h3 of x. But let's assume it's pulled back from the base. So w3 is a pullback of a class sigma. h3 of the base. Okay. Well, then that'd be an obstruction to constructing a spinner bundle in the operator. And to get rid of the obstruction, you would have to start with something which has the opposite twisting. So f lower shriek would be defined from k tau plus sigma of x to k, that's an f star, plus f star sigma of x to k tau of b, or we could write it a bit more naturally, twisted k of x to twisted k of b for a slightly different twisting. I suppose I should superscript the f's with the twisting as well, because they're different maps between different spaces, but I think I won't do that. Right. Now here, even if it's had tau equals 0 to begin with, you're forced to have a bit of a twisting in one of the k-theory maps to define the map. The reason this may not have attracted much attention is because in this case, the twisting is forced to be torsion, two torsion, so yeah. It's very mild somehow. You can explain it away very easily. You can find various models to explain it away. Fix.
Line, line, line. Did you redefine tau?
Yeah, so that is the same. This is an f applied to tau minus sigma, really, right? Just notational change. So we have this or that. The reason you can get very interesting twisting this way is for finite dimensional bundles, this obstruction to the spin bundle has to be two torsion, as I said. If you were to look at infinite dimensional bundles, you would see more interesting twistings appear. But there weren't too many infinite dimensional index problems. So let me write one more example, a simple thing, because it will come up. It's slightly related to this observation. It's closely related, actually. So let's say we have two spaces now for this f and g, and say as before, same thing with two spaces, so f star tau, g star tau is trivialized. Both these things are trivialized. Then we have a class, I guess, 1 tau in k tau of x. 1, let's call it minus tau in k minus tau of y. They go to k tau of b, k minus tau of b. What is this? F lower shriek, g lower shriek. You can tensor these two guys to get to k untwisted of b, and then you can, well, assuming that b has a spin structure as well, you can get to the point by push forward. What is operation? It's like a pairing here. Well, at least if f and g are both fiber bundles, then you can explain that rather easily. Let's call this g and f. So the result is the following. Well, if you were to pull back tau all the way to the fiber product, notice you have two trivializations of it. So one coming from x, one coming from y. So the difference is a line bundle. So you actually have a line bundle over the fiber product. And the answer is the index of the line bundle. So result is the index over the fiber product of something I'll call again O of tau, which is a line bundle, which is difference of trivializations of the pullback, so at g star, f star tau, and f star g lower star. G lower star tau. All right, this will come up. So you can obviously play lots of games with that. The same idea comes up again whenever you trivialize gerbs. You have to be careful a line bundle appears. So, aside from that torsion case, is it interesting at all, aside from the W3 class? Well, I know exactly one example, I should say, where this actually comes up. And this has to do with the moduli of bundles over a Riemann surface. And I have to apologize, because what I will say probably for the next half hour is just a reformulation of well-known things about the Berlinde algebra and index on moduli of bundles. But we need to say that in this language to see what change can be made to get a new class of results about index, about the K-theory of those moduli spaces. Here, what's the index for? Well, when you're in a manifold, you have an index formula, I guess. But that's all I said. Well, I have two things here. One is this index, and the other one is this operation up there, right? That's all. I'm saying they're the same. So the result of that is the index. Right. So the first example is heuristic, but it's true by, it's a theorem by the joint work with Dan and with Mike. So we'll look at the following situation. So G is now going to be a compact, simply connected, to make life easy, only Lie group. And I think I'll call A the space of connections, G value connections on the circle, space of G connections on the circle. LG is a smooth loop group. It acts on A. It acts on the point. Not saying very much. And I want the twisting for that. Well, the twisting for the LG action over a point twistings for LG acting on a point would have to be continuous cohomology classes, group cohomology, with coefficients in the circle group. Then you write U1 for the circle group. But fortunately, in this case, they happen to be completely topological. It's H3 of the classifying space with Z. Another way of writing it is this. So in the class there, and one good way to get a class there is if you start with an element in H4 of BG, then there's an evaluation map. This kind of thing will come up a lot, so that's why I'm writing it to BG. So you can look at F star of this four-dimensional class, and integration over S1 gives you a class I call tau in H, that will be H3 of loops in BG. That's one way twistings arise in this case. Okay, let's try a twisted index theorem for the projection from A to a point. Expect to have a map. I'll write it a bit wrong. First, P lower shriek from K tau LG of grind of A to K twisted K theory of a point. None of these things are defined yet, to be honest. So, well, but do I really expect that? Well, to see something, I'd have to send meaning to both sides. Now, this actually does have a meaning, because the base loop group acts freely, and then you can divide out by that and get a sensible definition for this space. The map from A to G being the holonomy. So you could take that as a definition, I guess, right, of the side. Well, this thing would be a category of representation of the loop group, because we have a twisting, they have to be projective, so it's natural to look at positive energy representation. So Z module on positive energy representations. But now we have to be a bit careful. So remember, there was a question of whether there's a spinner bundle on A. Well, to get a positive energy representation, I must kill the negative energy modes. To do that, I need a negative energy spinners, sort of coupled with the symmetric algebra on negative energy functions. Those have form a representation of the loop group, but it's projective and has level minus sigma, sigma being a dual Coxeter number. So negative energy spinners on A have level minus sigma. Sigma is a dual Coxeter number. So the correct statement will subtract that if you want positive energy. And then this becomes a Verlinde algebra at level tau minus sigma. And I call that, I need a name for that, algebra. How about A of tau minus sigma? So the prediction is a map from here to there, and actually that's a map that Dan Mike and I have constructed and shown. It's to be an isomorphism in this case. So I think making this precise is just making this integration along A precise. So indeed, let's say P exists and is an isomorphism. With these definitions. Now let's make it slightly more interesting by putting a bit more data. So now, let's say we have a surface with boundary a circle, and I suppose I call A to be the flat connections on sigma, and let's call x of, or maybe I should call it m of sigma comma boundary of sigma to be the moduli of flat G bundles on sigma trivialized, well, with a trivialization rather, on the boundary, trivialization of the bundle, not of the flat structure. So that is, of course, this A divided by the gauge action of the maps from sigma based on the boundary to G. So there's still a leftover map, the restriction of the connection to the boundary. So this M, notation is a bit bad, still maps to my original A. Bad connections, why did I do that? Is sigma. Right? It was a map to a point here. That's a map to the point there. And there's a loop group action everywhere. Okay. So now let's try push forward along this projection to a point. So let's call this capital P. This we call pi. This is capital pi. This we call P. This we call, don't have to call it anything, but call it proj. So, first observation is that the twisting vanishes on that space. See, one way to look at the twisting in K-theory, well, you could look at the universal flat G-bundle over the circle, and that's classified by a map from a S1 cross G, a G equivariant map. This is this corresponds to G mod G by conjugation. Actually, I'm saying it a bit badly. From it's really an equivariant map from S1 cross connections, an LG equivariant map to BG. And we are pulling back the four-dimensional class and integrating over the circle. Now, if I restrict now to, if I pull back rather the space M, there, of course, I have the universal flat bundle. So the bundle extends to sigma cross M. So I have a classifying map to the bundle. If I pull back the four-dimensional class, project here, I can pull back this. If I take F star of my original class, I think I called it chi, and integrate over sigma. Sigma has a boundary. And I get something whose co-boundary was the integral over S1 of F star chi, which was tau. It's really trivial, although it may be a bit confusing the way, because there are too many maps here. But the point is, the surface gives me a way to trivialize the twisting when pulled back there. So in other words, the pullback of tau is trivialized over M sigma the bound. So we have a class 1 tau in the K-theory, LG equivariant of M. And I like to ask, what is prog star of 1 tau in K, LG of a point? The universal bundle. This is the moduli of flat bundles over sigma. Right. So there's a bundle over sigma cross M. That gives you a map to BG. That's what I call the evaluation. The classifying map, I should have. Yes, sorry. Is it better, classifying map? All right, so what is that? Well, if there's any justice, we should be able to write it in terms of what we had before. And it's K twisted in some way. I'll write the twisting right away. So it should have prog star, prog shriek rather, of 1 tau is P lower shriek composed with pi lower shriek of 1 tau. Okay, but I kind of know what P lower shriek is, really. Right, I've kind of identified KLG of connections on the circle with the Verlinde algebra by the map P lower shriek. So the last step is phi. Do we know what pi is? Well, actually we do, because this map in fact is proper. In fact, it's a finite dimensional model for pi. If you divide by the connections based at a point, you just remember then the holonomies, and it's a map from two G copies of G, the holonomies along the loops, to G, which is the product of commutators. So it has the residual G action by conjugation. So this is obtained from the previous pi, again, by dividing by the base loop group. Where did that come from? Magic tricks. So we have a map we have to figure out. We have a model for the map which says take pi lower shriek of 1 tau from k tau g of g to the 2g to k tau g of g. And the pi lower shriek identifies this with a Berlinde algebra, what I call it A, at level tau minus sigma. In other words, the index of this direct image of 1 gives an element of Berlinde algebra, right, at twisted level. Well, what is it according to our previous interpretation? Let's remember the twisted index formula. In this case, well, we map to a point, but there's a group action. Forgetting the group action, we'll be taking the index all the time. So it means we'll get a vector space with a group action. So the interpretation of the form, this is honestly defined, right? I mean, this map here. So pi lower shriek of 1 tau, sorry. That's a bit difficult. There's an easier way, I'm sure. So pi lower shriek of 1 tau certainly is a well-defined element of the Berlinde algebra simply because only honest maps are involved there. But it should mean the LG equivariant index of something over this variety M bundles on sigma, flat bundles trivialized on the boundary. Now, what is that something? That's where we have to be careful. What was it? We had to compare two trivializations of a gerb. Well, one of the trivialization came from the fact that we're lifting from a point. The other comes from the fact that we can have this integral over sigma to write tau as a boundary. Well, what's the difference between the two? Well, when the boundary of sigma maps to a point, you get the integral over the closed surface, and that gives you a two-dimensional class, which is the Chern class of the line bundle in question. So the something is a line bundle of tau on this variety. It's not quite LG equivariant, it couldn't have been, but it's projectively LG equivariant. In fact, in a simple case, it's easy to describe it because there's only H2 is Z, so H2 of M is a variety. It's just Z isomorphic to H3 of G in the simply connected case to H4 of BG. So this is simply tau times the generator. So we're led to expect that the index over this variety, did I already write that? Maybe up here? No, I didn't. The boundary of the line bundle of tau. Well, what should it be? A Lupkow representation. So as an LG representation, has positive energy, so it's a sum of positive energy reps. And as such, an element in the Berlinde algebra, and I claim it's this element. And it equals pi lower shriek, 1 tau in the Berlinde algebra. At shifted level. Incidentally, people are worried why this line bundle was tau projective and the representation is tau minus sigma projective. You want to think that this is a Dirac index. And if you took the D-bar index, that would shift the level by the square root of the canonical bundle on that manifold. So, all right. Yeah. They are not quite LG equivariant, though. The projectively LG, both are projectively LG equivariant.
One of them came because the bundle was trivialized.
Yeah. Right. So a different aligned bundle, which involves integrating that second churn class, so to speak, over sigma, and getting a two-dimensional class, which is the first churn class. That's a line bundle.
Okay.
Very good. Very good. Yes, I mean, you're ahead of me. I suppose I should go faster than this. Thank you. Is that? Yeah. That's correct. It's a very special case of something in a topological field theory. So what have we done? We associate an element of the algebra to a surface, the single boundary component, by this construction. So first of all, I should say that expectation is true. In fact, it can be made into a theorem, which is older than the connection between KGFG and the Verlinde algebra. So there is a this is an infinite dimensional manifold, I should say, because we remember the connection on the boundary. But there is a way to define the index using algebraic geometry. It's also a Kähler manifold. There is a way to define the index which makes that statement true. So remark. So there is an algebraic definition of the index which makes that statement true. In other words, the index will be a finite sum of positive energy representations, and as such will be the correct element of the Verlinde algebra. And what we have done by this construction, certainly, if you forget about that, I've shown how to an open surface with a single boundary component, so it's Z of sigma, which belongs to the Verlinde algebra. Level won't really change, so I could drop it. So as Greg said, there's a topological field theory I should be able to assign to any surface with boundary components something. So in fact, A is a Frobenius algebra in the level. So to a surface a sigma with p incoming boundaries, p copies of s1, union of q copies of s1, to a surface I can assign, because it's a Frobenius algebra, a map from a p tensor power to q tensor power. And the theorem, which is part of the work with Dan and Mike, is that this construction of modular flat bundles allows you to actually define. So independently of index considerations, you can define that map topologically. So theorem, let's read. Is that the map is the following. So A is a twisted K theory in the P tensor power, Q tensor power. And here, let in the middle, let's take something like script M of just sigma. M sigma is the stack of flat G bundles over sigma without realization to the boundary now. Forgetting that. So stack in the equivariant sense. You can base at the point, and there's a manifold, the G action then. And then the map is Z of sigma. It's meant to be here. Is push forward, sorry, pull back, follow that push forward. And that requires, the condition requires the outgoing boundary to be non-empty. As long as you have something out. Right. So before that theorem, there was a construction of the map using the infinite dimensional manifolds. I guess non-topological construction, but which which really combined everything one knew about the connection between moduli spaces of bundles over a surface and the Berlinde algebra. No, this M sigma now I'm not basing on the boundary anymore. I didn't write the boundary. So it's finite dimensional, but it's not quite a space because it's a G acting now.
What is doing on the boundary?
Nothing. That's why it maps to these guys, sort of the covariantly. See?
Sorry.
So you have.
Why is there finite dimensional?
Well, because you have a finite set of loops, and prescribing the holonomies, modular conjugacy, gives you finite number of points in G. If you base at a point, you'll get the product of G's for all loops. Pi 1 is free. And then you have that equivariant for the G action. To construct the maps, actually, is a bit more complicated because you have to choose here at least as many base points as you have down there. So in fact, you have to choose a base point on each circle. You have a huge number of G's with a huge number of G's acting, but these are perfectly defined maps. They're manifolds, compact manifolds mapping to compact manifolds. I guess part of the theorem is that to define this, you really, well, there are some twistings necessary, and the twisting here, of course, would be P star tau, and that's the same as Q star tau. And you must use the isomorphism between the twisting coming from integrating over the surface, right, in there. Actually, for G simple, there's not much choice, but if you tried for a torus and didn't keep that in mind, you get the wrong answer, so. Because there'll be lots of line bundles. Right, so on the analytic algebraic side, what generalizes the picture I had before would have been something like the following. What would it have been? I'll make a small change here, and I'll reach a bit ahead and use the fact that there's a map from the representation ring to this guy. So every class here comes from a representation of the group. And then what I do, I take my sigma, and I cap all the incoming loops, but I remember the centers. I still have the outgoing loops. This was my sigma. And I sigma capped, let's say sigma capped. And I look at that infinite dimensional variety moduli of bundles on the capped sigma moduli of the new boundary. And on this, now I have a vector bundle coming from inserting a G representation at each marked point now in the center. So here's the vector bundle V1 tensor V2 tensor whatever Vp. One for each incoming factor. There was the line bundle I had talked about. And this has an index in the Berlinde algebra. And the theorem, this is the correct thing. This is actually Z of sigma hat, but with the incoming fields. So to interpret it as an index theorem, I have to interpret incoming fields as actually, well, coming from a point, the closed up surface. But it's a picture that's perfectly in keeping with what we think of conformal field theory. So in other words, what this does really is this twisted K theory gives you the correct K theory in which to capture index information over this moduli of flat connections trivialize over the boundary. That's the it's the obvious thing. I mean, so can you actually use it to do something? Well, you could use it to actually at least guess, if not prove, things that seemed very difficult a long time ago. So for example, if one more thing actually, let's say you have a surface which is divided into two. Now on each side, Z of sigma 1 belongs to the Linde algebra. Actually, let's say a representation of the loop group. So yeah, let's write the Linde algebra. This Z of sigma 2 belongs to the Linde algebra. Well, because the Frobenius algebra, you also have a trace form on this. So if you if you apply a trace form to the product, well, that's going to be now a number, an integer. Well, what is that going to be? Well, if you remember the picture, x, y mapping to b and the fibered product, this being the two varieties of flat connections, and this being the flat connection. So this one is a, m sigma 1, m sigma 2, and the fibered product. This pairing now is supposed to give you what? The index of a line band over the closed surface. So this belongs, sorry, to Z, and equals the index of tau over the moduli, over, let's call it M, sigma 1 union sigma 2, the moduli of flat bundles over the closed surface. And if you paid attention, you know what, I'm lying, because I had assumed before that these maps were fiber bundles, and the fiber product is a reasonable thing, which are not in this case. Nonetheless, miraculously, the result is correct in this case. But I should say, what goes here when these are not fiber bundles? Well, what should go there? Well, a homotopy theorist will put the homotopy theory fiber product there. That would actually have the homotopy type of maps from the closed surface to BG. And miraculously enough, there exists an object of that homotopy type, and that's called the stack of all holomorphic bundles over the Riemann surface. So the caution is what must go in there. What should go in there is, let's call it what, script M, sigma 1 union sigma 2, which is the stack of all holomorphic bundles. On the union, on the closed surface, over the boundary, I guess.
Which maps
were
not?
Well, this map of restriction of the connection to the boundary, because remember, the model for that map was the product of commutator maps to G. That's not a fiber bundle. It's a proper map. You can define K-theory, but when you define fiber products, it becomes a delicate matter to see what you get. So in this case, turns out it doesn't matter for the line band. So it turns out that the index over this M for the line bundles only is the index over the flat connections only. So you wouldn't notice that if you just looked at line bundles, but we're going to notice that next. That's right, I think that's right. Because the stacks on each side have the correct homotopy, so that's right, I think that's correct. Is it actually, I'm confused. It does, sure? They're kind of singular, the fiber. The fibers are singular, that's what worries me slightly about. It may be the same, but I actually don't think I checked it. But yes, maybe the same. Yes. So let's.
Between the stack theoretic fiber bundle and the homotopy fiber bundle.
Well, if you have to, if the stacks are spaces, there's a huge difference, right? The stack theoretic fiber product will just be the fiber product set theoretically, whereas the homotopy fiber product will not be that at all. So, so I think Mike is suggesting. Sorry. Yeah, let's explore that further over lunch. Sorry, but I'm not sure if they're right, but it's quite possible that they're the same thing. But I know for sure what has to go in there is this here, and the other may be the same thing. But
so the difference would somehow be thickening up the boundary instead of gluing them right along a circle.
Well, a kind of flat connection, so I don't see very obviously how thickening them would help, really. So. Sorry?
Some of us are behind and right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's switch the board. So, I think there's a lot more I need about this. Oh, I have notes here. Wow. Ah, yes, I do need to write one more thing to convince you that this is useful. You can write a formula from it. I should have done it, I suppose. So let's erase this. So I have to tell you a presentation of the Verlinde algebra. I'll do it over C, and I'll show you how this point of view allows you right away to write the formula for it, because I don't want to change the formula. So I should write it first. So recall that the A, the Verlinde algebra, is a quotient of the representation ring of G. And actually, to define that quotient, it's enough for me to give you the trace form theta from RG to Z, the trace in the Frobenius algebra, because, well, theta has to be non-degenerate, so you'll have to kill the kernel of the pairing defined by theta. That would be exactly the ideal, but you'll see right away what it is. So what is theta? So associated to the level tau, there is a finite subgroup F, put a tau, in the maximal torus in G. I never remember an easy definition of that, but let's just stick to that. And that gives, defines some conjugacy classes. See, classes in G. So the set of conjugacy classes G mod G is also T mod W. So F tau mod W is a set of conjugacy classes. And RG tensored with C are the functions on the conjugacy classes. And inside here, I want to remember only the regular points. And actually, on the complexified algebra, the kernel is exactly the ideal of representations as character vanishes at those conjugacy classes. But let's say directly that theta of an element V, a representation in RG, is going to be the sum over regular conjugacy classes of the value of the character times the val denominator squared divided by the order of the group F. So clearly the kernel of the pairing defined by that is exactly the ideal of the set of points in G mod G. And Frobenius algebra structure implies right away you can write a formula for the partition function of an open or closed surface of genus G. So Z of something like this the boundary component on genus G. So it's got to be an element in the algebra, and it's going to be sum of, let's call this theta sub f to the power minus g times pf, and z of the closed thing of genus g, sum of theta f to the 1 minus g is of course theta of the previous. And what is theta f? Theta f are the values of these constants over the order of the group, and pf is a projector at f in the Berlinde algebra. So the function which is 1 at the point f and 0 at the other points. And having formulas for that, you get the Berlinde formula. I should say that because we have a presentation of this element, so maybe let me just say it on a new board. So having the presentation, having z of that open surface as pi lower shriek of 1 tau allows you a localization formula to the maximal torus in G for this map. Localization G to the 2G Necoverian K theory. So you can right away write it as an integral over the torus, and the explanation of this val denominator squared the power 1 minus g, well, that's actually the normal, the other class, the normal bundle from T to G. Now, this is all good, but after all we cover are formulas and that were known at least for a decade and proved for at least a decade, known for more than a decade and proved for a decade, about the index of line bundles over moduli spaces. So how can we tweak this, perhaps, to get new information? So I think the formalism behind this is very general. I mean, regardless of the specific, I only write formulas to show that you can. But the formalist says, we started with, I think maybe I called it chi, or in H4 of BG. Now to the circle, I associated the space of, well, flat bundles over a circle, but on homotopy that's the same as maps from S1 to BG, loops in BG. And over this I had a gerb. That would have been the classical theory, I guess. And quantizing meant that I get an algebra. It's a twisted K theory. Now, something like this, a surface. Of course, to that we can assign again the maps from the surface to BG. That maps to the boundary to BG. We just put one boundary component. So we have a pullback of the gerb here, and here we trivialize the gerb. So trivialization of the gerb. And quantizing it, we got a map from KT to incoming boundaries to K tau outgoing boundaries. In particular, for a surface without boundary, these are both z, and I get a number. And so the index theory of line bundles over moduli spaces is captured by this sort of general nonsense picture. Now, can we have this picture with something else? For example, can we get the index of something which is not a line bundle? That would be nice. And the answer is yes, you can. You have to understand the connection between line bundles and gerbs. We start with a class here, which will transgress to a gerb. So H4, one transgression led to a gerb, and another transgression led to line bundles. So we have to start with something here, transgress to get something else, and in the end get vector values. Well, what's important, it turns out, is a multiplicative structure, so we can't hope to get all vector bundles. We can hope to get units in K star, in K theory, of whatever space. Well, what are the units in K theory of a space? Well, it's pretty easy to see that the vector bundles of virtual dimension 1, virtual bundles. So I'll write some facts here, some of which are easy. So facts. Facts from topology. And I will refer to my distinguished colleague, Hopkins, for all proofs. So let's hope I get them right. Right, so one, I hope that's uncontroversial. So units in K star of X, I may have to say what X is, for example, a finite dimensional complex, are represented by virtual vector bundles of dimension plus minus 1. Not, we're getting there. I mean, you have 2 steps, right? Just the units. Right. Now, we can factor a unit like that in the following way. Well, we can put a sign in front, I suppose. So a unit is going to be a sign in front. Then I want to extract a line bundle from it, and there is one. There's a determinant. Det of u. And what's left over, I'll call it u tilde. And this is a element of K-theory of virtual dimension 1 with trivial determinant. D mu tilde is 1, and det u tilde is trivialized. Trivial, maybe. Is that K-classes, so trivial is good enough. Actually, I don't think I want the plus minus here, because that will spoil the next statement a bit. So let's call it a positive unit. So we've split somehow, we've split the units, positive units in K theory, as line bundles times something with trivial determinant, SU bundles, if you like. And turns out, that's a more difficult fact, that this splitting extends, well, not much more difficult. This splitting extends to, first of all, the more difficult fact is that units, and this had better be 0 in K0, are a 0 space, 0th cohomology, group of a generalized cohomology theory. Cohomology theory, BU tensor, GL1 of K theory sometimes called. And this decomposition into the determinant and something in SU extends to BU tensor, so have a factorization. BU tensor are the line bundles. Line bundles are classified by KZ2. Tensor, something I could call BSU tensor. Cross, I guess. No. It's cohomology theories. Well, what are twistings of K theory in general? Well, H1 classes with coefficients in units, so the first cohomology group associated to this gives you the twistings of K theory. So the first cohomology group. First cohomology group represented by KZ3 cross B2, let's say, actually, B of BSU tensor gives twistings of K theory. Twisted forms of K of X. So the first factor are the gerbs, as we know. I like to call them.
What is the role of KZ3?
KZ3 is B of KZ2, I hope. So in other words, if this result represents the cohomology theory, so yeah, let me write what this means. So I'm saying that units, positive units in K naught of X are represented by homotopy clines of maps from X to that KZ2 cross BSU tensor, right? And then twistings over X have to be first cohomology clines with coefficients there, so they have to be homotopy clines of maps to KZ3 cross BB SU tensor. And D loop twisting, which we'll need in a second, will be classes in H4. These are the ones. These are the higher twistings. Yes. The loop twistings are classified by KZ4 plus B2 BSU tensor. So yes, so I call these things coming from here. It could be called determinantal twisting, determinant twistings. And let's call these higher twistings. Incidentally, I don't know very much about higher twistings. I've only encountered them constructed using homotopy theory methods. Don't know if there's a C-star algebra version, for example, or not, for these guys. There seems to be no nice rigid model for that B of B, B SU tensor, the way there is for, well, KZ3 as B of PU. Okay. So what's the moral now? We like to apply the same formulas. Let's say the Berlinde formulas. The Berlinde formulas to more general twisting. So to a twisting tau of the form, let's call it tau 0, which is the usual kind, determinantal, plus, let's call it tau 1, which is higher. So the same thing. Let's try to construct a twisted K-theory, maps induced by surfaces, and so on, and see what we get. Well, I can tell you, we'll get index formulas. But there's a catch. For this thing to work, I had to start with something in H4 of BG, something there, H4 of BG, which is a twice, a de-looped twisting, or a twice de-looped unit. The starting point must be a class in, what is that? It's really B2 BU tensor equivariant of a point, or H4G of a point, that's from KZ, times B2 BSU tensor equivariant of a point. So twice the loop twisting. And the bad news at first is that there really aren't any higher ones. So these guys exist, we know them. These guys don't. Because there aren't enough units in the representation ring of a group. There are polynomials, not power series or rational functions, so you can't invert them too much. You can only invert the one-dimensional representation. So we have to create more units. I suppose the proper way to do so is to look at the units in RG. GL1 of RG has a group scheme, and then it has lots of units, but they're formal. And the cheap way to do that is to just add a dummy variable, call it T, and treat it as a formal variable. So create units in RG by adding dummy formal variable . Let's call it something. How about t? So we're going to look at RG of t, and actually for homotopy purposes t is a line. It matters sometimes. Behaves like a line in many ways. So here there are lots of units because we have certainly units. Units certainly are units in RG times what, 1 plus TRG of T. Anything there is a unit. A huge space of units. But we'd like to create twisting, so we'd like them to be twice the loopable, and here's the cheap way to create one. So we want BU with a tensor product, and we have lots of exponential morphisms. From, let's write it this way. Well, let's write RG. RG of T additive to RG of T multiplicative, so GL1. For example, you can take V to something like the exponential of T times V for the representation. That's a formal sum of n tensor powers. There's a clever way to look at that, which does not look use factorials, but uses instead a symmetric group. We won't need that. Otherwise, you need to rational coefficients, obviously. There's an integral version of that, which is sim. Not version of that. It's an integral exponential morphism, sim of tv, I guess. Sum of t to the n sim n of v. That's obviously integral. I'll use this one, actually, the first one. The formulas are a bit easier. And the beauty of that is that these are twice the loopable. In other words, they will create objects there. They're actually... That's a spectrum. So now choose a representation V in RG, which is, I guess, B, U, all right, G plus of a point. But that's also B2, B, U, G plus of a point. That's something called both periodicity, I guess. And let's use B2 exp to get to B2, B, U, G tensor. Actually, this would be of a point, which is where we want it to be. So that's going to be a formal, a higher twisting, but a formal one. So actually, I forgot to put a formal variable here. Long tail of things. No. Well, see, to write the x by root, I've actually put a rational coefficient, then maybe it's actually true when you rationalize, but certainly integrally it's far from true. There's no Bott periodicity on this side, you see. So that's why that argument doesn't work. There is only on that side. I told you that they are twice the loopable, so, but I didn't tell you how, but I don't think there's a choice about it, actually. The meaning of that is that this map exists. Or then the explanation of this map exists is that XP is twice the loopable, I guess. That may be slightly circular. Higher twistings. But I need to go to the level of H4 of a point. Right. Well, there aren't any higher twistings here. Because there are no, if you go down two steps, the only units you get in the representation ring are the one-dimensional representations of the group, and they correspond. They are if you delup twice, they're classified by H2 sub G of a point. If you delup twice, they're classified by H4 sub G of a point. So they come from this factor. So there will be no twistings coming from there on the group. But if you had a dummy variable, formal variable, then there will be lots of them. And we'll see when we see the meaning of what we get, why there had to be a dummy variable in there, what I write wouldn't converge somehow if I try to evaluate at an integer as a result. It has to be a formal object. Right. So I'll take a twisting of that form. So my tau will be a certain old-style twisting, passé, plus this b2x, x of b, slightly abusive notation, but it has a higher portion, okay? And let's apply the same formalism. I'll just state the results of what you get and what it means. So first of all, so the twisted case, so I think the usual assumption is that this guy here is not degenerate, positive actually. So the determinant part is positive. Means you have a positive definite bilinear form on the Lie algebra, if you want. So then the twisted K theory, if you use the exponential, you have to put in rational coefficients now. So is a Frobenius algebra over the formal power series in T. It is a quotient of the representation ring with the dummy variable added. It has rank the same as the ordinary Frobenius, as the ordinary Verlinde algebra. In fact, at T equals 0, that with exp of TV, sorry, need that. At t equals 0, you don't have the higher twisting, and you recover the old Verlinde algebra. So it is, I should have said already, a flat family of Frobenius, or a flat deformation of the Verlinde algebra. Deformation of the Verlinde algebra. Which you get by setting t equals 0. And by all that, all I have to tell you, I guess I'm putting rational coefficients everywhere. Right. Well, because of the exponential there, it's not defined. Then you don't. And if you use the exponential in the sense of tensor power, the symmetric group action, then you don't either. I haven't checked over the integers, but... Okay, I haven't checked that, sorry. You mean there's a torsion springing up at random? A bit unlikely, but I haven't checked it, no. Right, so to determine it, because it's a quotient of this, again, I have to give you a trace form. The trace form, theta tau from this RG to Q of T, is obtained as follows. So first of all, at T equals 0, it should be the old one, and I'm going to express the deformation of the old trace form. So write the old theta, I guess, T0, the old trace form, as integration against the sum of delta function, the sum of those constant delta of F squared over order of the group, times the delta function on conjugacy classes at the point U. So U is a conjugacy class in the torus, really. And F ranges over the representatives of intimo W, really. and you're away from the singular point, so it's actually the smooth part anyway. So let's write this theta 0 in that way. Then that's a point, I think, where this talk sort of makes its way out of the dustbin of history, because I'm actually going to write the formula for this. So up to now, it's general nonsense. Now I'm actually writing something.
Why is there a
t from the q of t? Because the twisting length is an exponential of t times something.
No,
the twisting.
I understand. Why isn't there a q on the left?
That doesn't have to be. You can put a q on the left, but you can put a q on the. You can tensor with q. Nothing goes wrong. But you want me to write
so
it?
So you're saying that
you
the
feel
formula,
better?
The formula actually comes by tensor product from the.
Sure, sure. It's a q of t. It's q of t linear. Right.
So.
Yeah, yeah. It's a Frobenius algebra over this guy. Yes, yes, yes. Sorry. Yeah. Right. So then, theta of t is a result of the coordinate change psi goes to, well, something, I'm sure. Psi plus t gradient of the character of v at u. So psi is log u, or u is x of psi. So apply this coordinate change that sum of delta functions, including the volume scaling factor. I'm always confused if you need a function of the form for that. But apply a coordinate change, and you get a new distribution, actually a family depending on t, formally. And that family of distribution is the trace form for this new Frobenius algebra. So for gradient, and gradient is a metric defined by the level. So metric defined, variant metric defined by. That's a gradient. By tau naught, I called it. So the have a positive level which defines your bilinear form. So that's going to be like really, if you like, the standard bilinear form divided by h plus c or something like that at level h. So take the character, that's a function. Its differential is a one form. You have a metric, so you get a vector field. Get a vector there. So you get this transformation. It's a family of coordinate changes on the group. Now, I have no explanation for why a family of coordinate changes on the group is really like a. On the conjugacy classes, is actually a family of automorphisms of RG. Think of it that way. And I have no a priori explanation, I must say, why an automorphism of RG would convert a twisting to a higher twisting. I have no idea why that's the case, but it does. It's effect.
There's a single vector field, right? It's gradient vector
field. Right. This is, so this is a new, this is a coordinate, think of it as a coordinate change, I think, yes. Psi of x of psi, right? There's a new coordinate. Depends on the representation, that's right. If maybe I should write for it. It's on the Lie algebra, but use the exponential map to identify. Well, actually, so you identify this, if you like, with the alcove in the Lie algebra. Do that coordinate change there. Is this zero? No, not in general. This may not be a trivial deformation, that's correct. The Berlin, yeah, that's right.
Does it become periodic? Yeah.
T equals 1. I don't see that, but. T equals 1, that's not obvious to me, makes enormous sense, but I don't know. T equals 1.
Does it change
will change?
Well,
it's a vector space over Q of t of the right dimension, but the kernel, I see the points move under that. So you're changing the quotient of Rg, but... I don't think it is a quantum cohomology of anything, but in some sense it is, because the vector space is isomorphic, but not very enormously canonically, I suppose. So maybe not quite, no. Right, so I don't know how to think of it, but I'll tell you what to do with it. What information this encodes. So I don't know if it's related to any other deformation of anything else, is the short answer. But I know what it's good for. So what is question? Is what is z of a closed surface of genus G in this theory? What's the meaning, rather? What is the meaning of this theory? What it is, of course, once you compute the structure constants, you can write the formula for it. I'll do that for SU2 in a second. And the answer is, it's the index over that script M, the sigma closed surface of the line bundle at level before, twisted with an exponential of t times alpha of v. This is the index bundle over sigma, bundle along sigma rather. In other words, you have the classifying map to be G, the universal bundle. I call it F. So here you have a representation, so a vector bundle over VG. You pull it back here and define alpha of V in K star of M to be a Dirac index bundle of V along sigma. So this I conjectured that some time ago, about a year ago, and had I been very diligent, I would have written up a proof by now. I wasn't diligent in that way, but I was diligent enough to get a collaborator, who is Chris Woodward. And I just got, in fact, a couple of weeks ago, a sketch of a proof for SU2, and using symplectic methods, it seems to work in general, but it'd be difficult to write up. I have another proof in mind using more or less everything we know about, well, about the conformal field theory, the WZW model, Knijsnik-Zamo logic of connection, BGG resolution, and all that. If you assemble that together, there's enough information to extract a proof. But I haven't, that looks like it's a messy thing to write, so I haven't written that one. This one with Chris seems to be working fine. So what does this do? Well, you could have several formal variables, several vector space, so you can write index formulas for K-theory classes over M, not just line bundles. Now, I should have stopped a long time ago, sorry about that, but let me just say one thing, because perhaps the physicists have something to tell me about that. If you take the large level limit of these indices of line bundles, and we scale V appropriately, these indices become essentially integration against the expo of the symplectic volume on the moduli space, integration formulas for that. Now, Witten gave a class of formulas for that a long time ago using Young-Mills theory, and he showed, in fact, in some way they were obtained from the symplectic volume formulas by a change of coordinate in the fields, which is this. So this, to me, looks like a finite level limit of Witten's topological Young-Mills theory. And indeed, it's known that in the large level limit, the Berlin algebra becomes a space for topological Young-Mills. So this suggests that there's a there's a version of that at every level. Well, there is a topological one. But the question to which I don't really know the answer is, what is the non-topological theory going with that? Is this a topological limit of some theory which exists at every level? There's an obvious guess, which would be to try to couple Young-Mills to the to the WZW model on the surface. So that's, of course, very non-topological. What happens with that is that the space of states for that is infinitely dimensional, and some strangely enough, a topological limit, it collapses into something finite dimensional. I don't know why that would happen.
Why you
engage
the group G?
WZW, so you do what you do for the coset model, but add the Young-Mills term.
Right.
No, we add the trace F star, I was saying. Well, you. It's a topological. Well, we have a topological theory here, which deforms the G-mod-G-mod already.
The
topological one. And I think I'm asking, is this the limit of a non-topological theory in the way topological Young-Mills is the limit of Young-Mills, right? Sorry? What? So I don't know, just a question I'm asking. All I notice by playing with U1 is that it seems to me that these delta functions have to become theta functions. First approximation, that's not very surprising because you see that in, of course, in the characters of representations, but I don't have more of a clue beyond that. Sorry I went so much over time, but I think I did manage to say what I wanted at least. So.